And this will begin with the halachas of a chamsan. With Gemara Bava Kama, just to briefly review the Gemara Bava Kama, Pashup Shat was saying that to be a chamsan, it was that middle case, it's where you take someone's property with paying for it, and he has not agreed to sell it to you. My dad's called a chamsan. The Ravid says that is pshat in Lo Sachmud also. He said Lo Sachmud is talking in a case where you pay for the item, but the person didn't agree to sell it to you. But had he agreed to sell it to you, you would not be over Lo Sachmud. The Rambam, though, the way we understood it, holds Lo Sachmud is different than what a chamsan is. He holds even if you're not a chamsan, you still violate the prohibition of Lo Sachmud, coveting someone else's property, even if you convince him to sell it to you. We'll see the lashon of the Rambam tonight. Even you get your friends to talk him into it, and he eventually agrees to sell it to you, you still have violated Lo Sachmud. And whenever you violate Lo Sachmud, we learned there's also another of the Tayag Averus, the Tayag Mitzvahs, is a Lo Sasa of Lo Sasada. If you desire something that belongs to another person, you're over Lo Sisava. If you desire it, we'll see more tonight, if you desire it in a way that could lead to Lo Sachmud. So, once again, the way the Rambam says and the way Shulchan Aruch paskins it, if we want an object that belongs to our friend, and we go and convince him to sell it to us, even though he agrees to sell it to us, according to the Rambam, we have violated the Avera of Lo Sisava, do not desire what belongs to your friend, and also Lo Sachmud, do not covet what belongs to your friend. If we take it without paying, then there's the third Avera Kovo Sigzo, you can't steal. Okay, so that's, we just introduced Lo Sachmud last week. We're going to talk this week more in detail about this Avera of Lo Sachmud, and then next week, Lineder, we'll start with the real Hilchus Gezeila. The case we'll talk about tonight is in the Betzel HaChachma. It seems like a real case. It seemed that there was a certain town where, I don't know why, but the Balabatim had not prepared shmura flour for their matzahs on Pesach. And the only one that had done it was the Rav. So the Rav, Erev Pesach, baked his matzahs. And then, I don't know why, he doesn't say where it was, he puts dot 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 where the city was, but for some reason then everyone woke up and said, we don't have any shmura matzahs for tonight, and they heard that the Rav has shmura matzahs, so they all knocked on the door of the Rav and said, can we have some shmura matzahs to be Yosei the mitzvah? And the Rav Shamish went, and he gave them matzahs and left just the bare minimum for the Rav and his family. So afterwards, someone, a chasha member of the Kehila, who had not just remembered to get shmura matz flour beforehand, but then realized, hey, maybe we were violating Lo Sachmud, right? The Rav had these matzahs, and we went and were begging for matzahs. That's to be an Isra Lo Sachmud. To which someone else there said, well, there's no Lo Sachmud because it was for a good cause. This was for a mitzvah. When you are asking for someone for something for a mitzvah, there's no Lo Sachmud in that case. And that was the shaila that they asked the Betzel HaChochma, who was right in such a case. Is there Lo Sachmud? Or do we say, since they were using it for a mitzvah, there's no Lo Sachmud in this case. On the way, while we're talking about this, we'll talk about the more common case. Hopefully this won't happen so often, but the more common case of if someone has a house and you like that house and you want to live in that neighborhood, and now it's not like that, but a few years ago it was like that. You knock on the door and say, can I buy your house? Is there a Lo Sachmud? And you say, oh, Lo Sachmud doesn't apply to houses. Yeah, but the pasuk says it does. Lo Sachmud is based Reyacha. So you can't answer that.
But it was right? Reyacha, right?
Okay, so that we said last week, there are those that say it doesn't apply. Reyacha, below Shalakama, and there's Machan Chaim. Shulchan Aruch Harav seem to make that deal. When we get to Gezlachim, we'll revisit that. Okay, but let's say it's Jews, and keep it simple. When is there a problem of Lo Sachmud? How can you avoid the problem of Lo Sachmud when you want to knock on someone's door and ask for his house? and not be, and once again, it's not just you know, it doesn't look like you're stealing. It doesn't seem so important, but it's the Aseret HaDibros. It's the last of the tenth of the Aseret HaDibros, and as we spoke out the Gaon last week, he holds that all of Torah revolves around this mitzvah of Lo Sachmor. Okay, so let's learn how to avoid that Isser of Lo Sachmor. So let's first see, is there any merit in the argument that if it's for a mitzvah, there's no Lo Sachmor? If I want to, I need someone's lulav, and I don't have a lulav myself, I'll beg and plead, I know you have two lulavs, you brought them for your children, but I'm an adult and I don't have one, can you give me that lulav? Can you sell me that lulav? There's a shortage, you got five for your family, I don't have one, can I ask you to give me your lulav, sell me your lulav? Is there a problem of Lo Sachmor? And like we said last week, even if he eventually agrees, right, that's no heter. According to the Rambam Shulchan Aruch, the Isser Lo Sachmor applies even if he eventually agrees. So let's see if it applies to a mitzvah. So the Betel HaChachma proves from the two Gemaras I have on the front side of the handout here that there's no heter of a Dvar Mitzvah. Right, famous Gemaras. The first Gemara is in Brachas. The Gemara talks about the mitzvah Kriya Shema. And the Gemara proves that if someone is osek in a mitzvah, he's patur from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. That's the sugi in Brachas. We'll see how it applies to us soon. So let's read the Gemara first, so we can see how it applies to us. The Gemara says, the pasuk says, "V'shivtcha le'visacha, yivavtas Hashem lokecha b'chol levavcha nafshecha medecha," and you should do it even v'shivtcha le'visacha. You say Shema even when you're sitting in your house. So that's what the pasuk says, and the Braisa makes a diuk parat la'osig b'mitzvah. That excludes if you're doing it. It's only if you're sitting in your house, reading a book or doing something that's not a mitzvah. But if you're busy doing it a mitzvah, then you're patur from kriyashma. The pasuk says, "Vaiter," and when you're going along the road, that's when you have to read Shema, even when you're traveling. Parat l'chasen, which excludes the chasen who's busy getting ready for his mitzvah of his chasana, so he's also patur from Shema. So the Braisa says, Mikanom, from here where they said, Hakonis is Apsula patur, someone who marries is Apsula, is patur from Shema, he's busy with the mitzvah, es almana chayiv, but an almana is chayiv, the Gemara asks later, was it chilek, and we that's not nogeyas. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we see, it says, v'shitcha v'vitzacha, you're sitting in your house, how do you know that's talking, that you're not doing a mitzvah, to say that's when you're chayiv in Shema, but when you're doing a mitzvah, you're patur from Shema. In fact, the Gemara, my mashma, how does the pasuk imply that because you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to say Shema? So, end for the Gemara and Rav Papa, ki derech, because it says, v'lech l'chava derech, you're on the road. My derech, which is just like when you go on the road, you're probably just taking a trip for business or for pleasure or something like that. So, av kol rishos, so you're only chayiv in Shema when you're doing any type of rishus, any type of discretionary activity, something that's not a mitzvah. But if you're doing a mitzvah, you're not on the road, but you're doing a mitzvah, so then you're patur from Shema. Fek the Gemara, Milo Atkina to Ka'azil Advar Mitzvah. Who says when you're on the road, you're not doing a mitzvah? Maybe you're on the road to go to a chasana, to go to another mitzvah. How do you know that you're not doing a mitzvah when you're on the road? And Hashem still says that you have to read Shema even though you're on the road doing a mitzvah. So, and for the Gemara, Im Kain, if the pasuk is talking that you're on the road, lift Rachmana b'sheves u'v'leches, let the pasuk just say when you sit while sitting and while walking, you have to say Shema. My b'shivtecha u'v'lechtecha. Why does it say during your sitting and your going, lechtecha lechtecha? That tells you, v'shevet didach, didach, v'v'lechus didach l'dem chayiv. So you're only chayiv when you're sitting for your own purposes, when you're traveling for your own purposes. That's when you're chayiv in mitzvah, of kriyashma, had the mitzvah. But if you're going or you're sitting and you're doing a mitzvah, petiras, you're patur from Shema. So therefore, we can learn from this pasuk that someone who's doing a mitzvah is patur from Shema. The Tzeil HaChachma says, so you see from this, what would happen if you didn't have Shiftecha, the Lechtecha? We would have thought that it was supposed to say Sheves and Leches. What would we have said? We would have said that if you're in the middle of doing a mitzvah, you're sitting doing a mitzvah, you're traveling doing a mitzvah, you have to stop that mitzvah to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Shema. In other words, Shema overrides that mitzvah that you're doing. So he says over here where it says lo sachmor, don't covet beis reyacha, your friend's house. So that means even if you want the house for something that's for a mitzvah, you're still not allowed to take it, because there's no mia to say, but if it's for a mitzvah, you, it's okay. We'll see another Gemara, we'll see it clearer. Then we'll see his lashon inside. The Mishnah in Amenacha says that you're not allowed to, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to cut, besides there's an issur of chadash, you're not allowed to eat new grain before the Omer is offered on the second day of Pesach. You're also not allowed to even harvest the chadash grain before that Omer is brought. However, it says that kosrim mibnei hanetios, you can cut new grain because you need room for saplings. It's different shartim what the reason is. Could you use kilayim, or you just want to have saplings there? But when they base on ovil, you need it as a place where someone can have a place for an ovil. When they base on midrash, you need a place to give a shear, and there's no room there. And you want to cut this area, you want to cut down this field to build a house for a base midrash. So in those cases, you're allowed to. My time, why you're allowed to harvest it, there's an isser of harvesting before the Omer is brought. So, and for the Gemara, Ketzir Chem Amarachman. Hashem said, the Omer has to be the first of your harvest when it's for your own purposes. Below Ketzir Mitzvah, but not if you're harvesting it for a mitzvah. Here's another case where it says Ketzir Chem, yours. The Torah says a your to exclude that the Isser doesn't apply when it's a Devar Mitzvah, when it's going against the Mitzvah. You know, normally you're not allowed to harvest your field before the Omer is brought, but in this case, since you need the Omer for a Beis HaMedrash or for an Ovel to get rid of Kelayim, you need it for the Mitzvah, so in that case there's no Isser of harvesting. So that's what the Betzalel Chachma says. He says, it says, Lo Sachmat Beis Vayecha Sharcha. Now these things you could use for a mitzvah. You could use the bayis, your friend's house. You could say, suppose you need a base medrash, you need a place for a base medrash, and you take that person's house for a base medrash, right? So there's no mia to say that the losach mode won't apply for a divine mitzvah over there. The other places where it says shiftecha ktirchem, that's where we can exclude that this aveira doesn't apply when it's going to interfere with you doing a mitzvah. But even though you won't have a base medrash, we have no deal that we can make to say that the sachma shouldn't apply. The ox, you might want to make a carbon. Suppose you need an ox for a carbon, and your friend has an ox that he's plowing his field with. So and you want to go and buy it, and he doesn't want to sell it, but you want to buy it anyway. So you are over lo sachmod, you violate lo sachmod, even though you need his ox for a mitzvah, because there also doesn't say anywhere, there's no exclusion that this aveira lo sachmod doesn't apply when you need the object for a mitzvah. Lo sachmod applies in all cases. He rejects this svara of those who asked it and said there is an issur lo sachmod, even though you need the object for a mitzvah. He goes to a whole arichas, that's even if it's a lulav or a shofar, things that are really, or a Sefer Torah, things that are Sefer Torah that's only used for a mitzvah, still lo sachmon. I want that Sefer Torah for myself to do the mitzvah. He has five, but it's still, there's lo sachmon for anything that belongs to your friend that you want, and you force him to sell it, or you convince him to sell it when he doesn't really want to, and even if he eventually agrees, you've still been over lo sachmod and lo sisava for wanting it in the first place. The Rebbe Yatziv, the Klosenberger, says the same conclusion. There's no heter to say that if I need that thing for a mitzvah, I'm allowed to badger him until he finally agrees to sell it to me. So based on that, the Betzalel Chachma said it was wrong to ask for those matzahs. That's the bad news. However, Betzalel Chachma finds three possible heterim why it was okay to ask for the matzahs, and by learning these three heterim, we will pretty much cover many of the halachas of l'sachma, so it's worth going through these three heterim. The first thing we have to talk about, just as a davar pashut, that if you know you walk by a store and there is a sofa in the store and you want that sofa, there's no issur l'sachma, then you go to the storekeeper and you want, there's no l'sachma, it's for sale. Like Lo Sachmo is talking where things are not for sale. Right? It's not for sale, and you want that object anyway. So there, the Minchas Pitim says that according to the Ravid, you'll only be over if he doesn't eventually agree to sell it to you, but if he eventually agrees to sell it to you, you're okay. However, according to the Rambam, like we said last week on the Shulchan Aruch, the way Shulchan Aruch passes, which seems to be what we should go with, even if he eventually agrees to sell it to you, since the item wasn't originally for sale, you violated the Isser of Lo Sachmor. Pitzchei Choshen though says, that doesn't mean that you can't ask him. Right? Maybe you walk by and you see someone has a nice bicycle on the porch over there, and maybe he doesn't need it anymore. Maybe he'd rather have money for it. So there's nothing wrong in asking him, would you like to sell your bicycle? If he says no, so then the answer is no. You can't start, you know, forcing him and grabbing and throwing money. That's Lo Sachmor, that's Chamsen, right? But there's nothing wrong with asking him. And L'chora, there'd be nothing wrong with asking him, are you interested in selling your house? And if the answer is no, the answer is no. But if you're just saying, you know, I like your house, my friend lives right next door, and the shul's on the other side, and I really want that house, so there's nothing wrong with asking. And the issue is in, we'll see, in badgering or enforcing, but just to ask a question, if it's an item for sale, so then it's for sale, it's no problem. On the other hand, Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner says, even if the item is for sale, he's a salesman, and he has these sofas he always sells, but he doesn't want to sell it now. Say the store is closed, and you call him up and say, you know, I really need that sofa. I'm having the company come over, and they have nothing to sit on. Can you please open it? I said, I'm sorry, it's closed. You know, I have a life of my own. And he says, come on, you have to do it. And you finally force him, and he finally does it. So that's an Isser Lo Sachmod in that case also. Right? So Lo Sachmod applies only where the item's not for sale. The item's for sale is no Lo Sachmod. That's just a davar pashut. If something's for sale, you can buy it. And the chiddush of Pesach Choshen, if it's a chiddush, but when he says it, I don't know anyone that argues, you are allowed to ask someone if that item is for sale. That's an innocent question. It's no Lo Sachmod. There's nothing wrong in wanting to know, to buy something. Now, if it's permitted to ask him, and if he agrees to sell it to you, he sells it to you, then there's no Lo Sachmod, and there's also no Lo Sisada. Whenever you are not violating the Isser of coveting, there's no problem that you desired it. You know, you see something and, oh, that's a good idea. You know, he has a car that has four doors to it, and maybe if, you know, I could get a car like that, it would work good for me, and I would never know there was such a thing, so, and maybe he got it special. So you can ask him, do you want to sell it? That's no problem. That's no problem. That's no Lo Sachmod. But he wants to go through life looking at the Joneses all the time. That's a different shaila. But there's no Isser of Taya Mitzvahs of the Aseres Adibus Lo Sisava Lo Sachmod, and just asking someone, can you sell me that item? Now what happens if he says no? Where do we draw the line and say that the person has crossed that line and violated Lo Sachmod? Let's see the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam, this is the part we skipped last week, because it wasn't okay last week. The Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila, Perek Aleph, Halacha Test, and Shulchan Aruch has the same lashon. Says Kol Hachomed Abdo O Amasa O Beiso VeKel Shechaveru. Anyone that desires a person, slave, his maidservant, his house, any of his other property, VeHichbid Olav Bereyim, and he burdened him with friends knocking on the door and said, can you please sell it to my friend and the next one, and he convinced him until he finally bought it, so then he has violated Lo Sachmod. And Halacha Yabes, he says the same thing, Hakona Dover Shehis Ava, the Hefzer. If he buys the thing that he desired with Hefzer, with convincing, Shehifzer Bebailim, he convinced the Bailim, over Vakoshanehan, or he kept on asking them, over Bishnei Lavim, then he has two Lavim, right? Lo Sisava for desiring it, and then for finally getting it, Lo Sachmod. That's the Rambam's Lashon, that there's an Isser in keeping on bothering him, keeping on nudging him until he finally sells it to you. But what's called, how many times are you allowed to bug him before it's called badgering? So Vatel Chachma brings a raya from Asma, Sma says there's halacha kakaneva's da'as. If you invite someone to your house and you don't really want him to come, and you know that, and you know that he won't come because he's invited somewhere else, or he has someone sick, right? He can't make it. So the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is if you were hitzir him, the same lashon, if it's hitzir, if he was persuading him to come to the house, he's already geneva's das, and on that the Sma says it's called hitzir when he asks him three times. If he asks only one or two times, that's not called bothering him. That's not called nudging him. But it's called nudging when he asks a third time. So the Batel Chachma wants to say here also. You ask the person, can you do you want to sell your house? And he says no. So far you didn't do anything wrong. You come back next week with your children and you say, are you sure you don't want to sell? My children would really like this house. So at that point, it's also not Lo Sachmat. When you come the third week, so that could be, or that already is hisir, that's already called nudging too much. And when you nudge, so if he doesn't sell to you, there's an Avera called Lo Sisava. That's called, you are desiring something and you went too far already, and if he ends up selling it to you, you'll have violated the second of the Aseret HaDibros of Lo Sachmar. Right, that's the halacha. I mentioned quickly last week, I would assume that if the person doesn't really want to sell his house, but then you put up, you send out an email to everyone that there was a big robbery, or three robberies on the block where he lives, and it's not true. And even if it is true, maybe. And you send it to everyone, and you scare him that he wants to sell. That could be something like Hitzirbo, and you're trying to find ways of getting him to sell when he doesn't really want to sell. I don't know, maybe it's outright in Gezela, I don't know. But that I think would be a Lo Sachmar also. That's like you're trying to convince him by nudging him, or I haven't seen anyone say this, that's my Chiddush, that you try to come around, do things with Harama to make him want to sell when he doesn't, shouldn't really want to. That could also be a Lo Sachmar. So based on this, the Betzel Chachma says, what were they, going back to the case with the Rav, with the matzahs, if they were just asking, you know, we don't have any matzahs, could you give us some matzahs? So if they weren't planning on nudging and badgering and coming back a second time and a third time, so based on that, he said there was no Lo Sachmar over there, and also not any Lo Sisaga, if they were not planning on badgering. If they were planning on, we're just going to keep on, and you first go, and then they have a whole lineup of 20 people to go, and to keep on nudging him until he finally does it. So in that case, they'd be over Lo Sisaga. Even if they ended up saying no, if they ended up giving the matzahs, they would then have violated the second hisser of Lo Sachmat. But the Baseil Chochma said, and I don't see any indication that that's what they were trying to do. They were just asking an innocent question. We know you have matzahs. We were batlanish about it. We're sorry, but can you give us some matzahs? So in that case, he says there would be no Lo Sachmat. That's his hetzer number one. Hetzer number two. They asked to be given the matzahs. They didn't want to buy the matzahs. Now, is it Lo Sachmar if you ask someone to give you a present? Until now, we say Lo Sachmar is I take it and I throw the money in his face. He doesn't want to sell it. I force him to sell it to me. How about if I want a present from him? So the Shari Tshuva Rav Yonah says like this: Hachomei lokachas kol chepetz. If someone has a chemda, he has a desire, he covets to take a certain object. Who is nichvad, and the owner is a respected person. She yishal she'ela arpanav le'apilun, that he asks him the question, he won't be embarrassed. Also, lishal ne'im re'ehu mekach o matas, you're not allowed to ask him for either a mekach, a sale o matas, or a present. Built im yeda ki nasan yitan abenefshcha peitzan. Unless you know that I'll give it to you willingly, la yera levavo besitelo, and he won't feel bad when he gives it to you. So the Shari Tshuva says that this applies whether it's a mekach or a matas. It applies whether it's a present or a sale. So that doesn't seem to help us. However, the Tshuva's Eretz Tzvi brings from the Ger Rebbe of his time that Rabbeinu Yonah only means this as a midas chasidus, it's not really halacha, because wherever you see any cases of lo sachmod, it's only where it's a sale, you're forcing him to sell it to you and you're giving him money, you're giving something in exchange, but he asked for a present. We don't see that, that's not lo sachmod, it's the midas chassidus Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, and that's the way he paskins. However, the Petzel Chochma brings the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim has a sefer mitzvahs hakatsu, where he tells us the mitzvahs that apply nowadays. Mitzvahs lo sachmod mem, he says like this, shelo lachmod davar shel chaveiro, a person should not desire something belonging to a friend. This is a very interesting lashon that he says for our times. Umatzui zeh, he says this aveira is applicable b'chosan, by a chosan. Shemachbid al-chosano kodem ha-chasana, who nudges his future father-in-law before the chasana, she yishan le-dara ploni ploni, she can meet this thing and this car and that type of thing. Mashallah hisnal zebashas ksivas ha-tanoim, something that they hadn't agreed upon when they made the tanoim. They made tanoim, they'll pay this and pay that, they'll do two sides, and now that it's finished and they broke the glass, and those times tanoim were before the chasana. So now the chasana says, you know, I really need this, I really need a car, I really need all these things. Well, the Chafetz Chaim, I don't think it was a car in those days, but the Chafetz Chaim is saying that the chasanim keep on badgering the future fathers-in-law for things that they weren't promised. So even though the father-in-law will eventually fulfill that request, he has violated lo sachmod. So the Tzal Chachma says, though, based on the understanding of the Ger Rebbe's understanding of the Rabbeinu Yonah, if you're asking him to give you a present, so then there's no lo sachmod. It's only if you force him to sell something to you. But if you're asking for a present, that's lo sachmod. So I'm asking for a present. I can ask for a present. That's no problem. And then maybe he disagrees with the Chafetz Chaim. However, the Pesachei Choshen says, when the chassan's badgering for extra things, he's not asking for a present. He's saying, I deserve this. I'm to buy me, you need to pay me all these things if you want to buy the chassan. You have to spend a lot of money. So he's saying, part of the deal is, I want the car and I want all these other things. That's part of Lo Sachmod, the Pesachei Choshen says, and he has a whole thing how people shouldn't. He's writing more recently than the Chafetz Chaim. He's saying the chassanim shouldn't do that. And Mameli says that'll be a problem of Lo Sachmod. So based on that, this was issue number two. At least we see there's a shaila whether there is a Isser Lo Sachmod by a matana. So that here where they were asking for a matana, they were asking, look, we don't have any matzahs. You know, the Rebbe doesn't need any money for the matzahs. That's not going to help him, make him or break him the money they'll give him. So they're asking for a present, they're just asking matzahs. So if they're asking for it as a present, it could be that they're being a lo sachmod, or at worst it's a midas chasidus that they were violated, but they wouldn't be over the iser d'oraisa, the aseres hadibros, a lo sachmod and a lo sisada. That's the second heter he gave. Then he talked about a third heter. He says like this, he brings from the same chulas eres hatzvi, how can anyone go and ask for tzedakah? Well, you go door to door and you're asking for tzedakah. Why isn't that lo sachmod? Right? You have money, and I want your money. Right? I want your money. Especially if you hold that it applies to a matana. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it applies to a matana. So why aren't you violating the mitzvah of lo sachmod when you're asking for tzedakah? Or you're asking for the first 18. You're asking for, you're collecting for something. For what are you collecting for? You're selling raffles. When you're asking someone for money, why isn't that lo sachmod? He has money. If you hold that there's a problem of lo sachmod by a matana, I'm asking for this matana, and I should be over lo sachmod for it.
Say no for lo sachmod. It's a mitzvah for you to give tzedakah.
Okay.
It's a mitzvah for me to.
So he says a little bit better. He says, not only is it a mitzvah for you to give tzedakah, but the halacha is we force people to give tzedakah, right? Kofin ala tzedakah. The halacha is a bezdin has a right to say, to make an assessment, you know, when there's a proper bezdin, to make an assessment of how much everyone should give to support the school, support the shul, support the mikvahs, support everything that's nogea for a city, the shmira of the city, the patrols, right? That's something that that you have a right to force. So if you can force him with physical harm, you tie him up and force him to give his correct share of tzedakah, so certainly nothing wrong in asking him nicely 3, 5, 10 times. It's better than, maybe it's worse than tying him up if you keep him by adjuring him, but that's the kol shekein, he says. If you're allowed to force him physically to give tzedakah, so there's nothing wrong with asking it for it. So what's Rabbeinu Yonah saying, that you can't ask for a present? So I was talking where it was a rich person who was asking for the present, so there's no mitzvah that the other person has of giving it to him, because he's wealthy, he's just asking, he wants more. So that's where asking for a present is a problem. But if a person's poor, there's no problem of asking for it, because we force people to do mitzvahs. So the Tzemach Chochma takes that one step further. He brings a lot of interesting Marim Akomos. Suppose he has a Mam Shailas that he has that happened, different Shailas and Shuvas he has from the Machan Chayim, that there was one person who had 2 Kizesim of Matzah Shmura, and his friend had none. So the question is, can you force him to... Does the person who has 2 have an obligation to do 2? You'll say the mitzvah better. Do you have an obligation to help the other person do a mitzvah d'oraisa? He brings another shayla. He says from Minchas Elazar, he brings that someone had 2 zeis in the same idea, and his friend didn't have any, so he had 2 zeis because he was going to have 1 for both seder and sidarim, 1 for tonight's seder, 1 for tomorrow night seder. But the other person doesn't have any, so are you allowed, or do you have to give your friend 1 of your matzahs, so you'll both be yotzi the mitzvah d'oraisa tonight, so there'll be 2 mitzvah d'oraisas done tonight, rather than you keeping them both for yourself, when there'll be 1 mitzvah d'oraisa tonight and 1 mitzvah d'rabbanan tomorrow. And he brings that the Minchas Elazar Paskens, that even though you're going to lose your matzah the second night, you still have a chiyuv to help out your friend. We never say do an aveira to help out your friend. That's when he did something wrong. When he did something wrong, so then you don't have to suffer for that. But here he did nothing wrong. There was no matzahs around, and you happen to get the last 2. The Minchas Elazar Paskens, you have to give him 1 of your matzahs. So he brings from the Magen Avraham, says if you have exact amount of oil you'll need for Hanukkah, and your friend doesn't have any. So he says, "In Yeshel Hashem and Bitzimtzum, you have the exact amount of oil you need. The Chaveir Ein Klal, and your friend doesn't have any. Mutav Sheyata B'Chol Laila Echad. It's better for you to light just 1 candle every night instead of doing the 1, 2, 3 the Mahadrin and Hamahadrin. Beitin Gam Chaveiro, and let your friend be yotzi the mitzvah. Damedina Ein Tzarich Elo Echad, because you could be yotzi with just 1 candle a night. So you have 44 or 36 to go through the whole Chanukah, the Mahadrin and Hamahadrin. But your friend doesn't have any. So Magen Avraham says it's mutav. It's good to give it to him. So Shaiwas, he had 2 esrogim, right? He had 2 esrogim, and your friend doesn't have any. He brings from these different marimakamas that you should give one of them away. So based on all these different shitas that hold that if you have the ability to help someone do a mitzvah, you are mechuyev to do it, right? You're mechuyev to help them do the mitzvah. So based on that, over here, if the Rebbe had enough matzahs to eat through the whole Pesach and wonderful for his whole family, and even people that don't need the mitzvah, but these people don't have any matzah for tonight, so the Rebbe's mechuyev to share his matzah so they can do the mitzvah and be yotzi the mitzvah. So assuming they were not kosheya, they just Rebbe couldn't find any flour, and here the Rebbe has it, so there's no lasachma. Just like the ani is allowed to ask for tzedakah because a person's mechuyah to give tzedakah, and it's not lasachma when you're asking someone to do something that he's supposed to do anyway. So here they're asking the Rebbe to give them the matzah that he's supposed to give them anyway. So mamela, there wouldn't be any lasachma. The Divya Yatziv says this whole shaila from the tzedakah from the ani is no raya from there, because he says there's a more pashut reason. This is what I mentioned that we said get to. There's a more pashut reason why there's no lasachmud when an ani knocks on the door and asks for tzedakah, and that's because he's not asking for a particular dollar bill that the person has. He's saying, look, you have $1 million, and I don't care which one you give me, but just give me 18 of them. Give me 100 of them, wherever they are. It could be, you could write a check and I'll get from the bank. I'm not interested in any specific thing that you own. He says, the same thing could be if you know that he has 10 winter coats. He said, I'd like a winter coat. You have a lot of winter coats. Can you give me a winter coat? I'm not asking, this is even a bigger fetish. I'm not asking for a specific one of yours. I just know that you have extra ones. Can you give me that winter coat? He holds that there's no los achmod. So, that doesn't slug up all the other rayas. It just means that there's no raya from here that, from the case of an ani, that there's no lasachmud and the person has to do something. The Vizel Sachmud still maintains, he doesn't bring this far, but he maintains that if a person is mechuyav to do something, that you're not violating lasachmud if you ask him to do it. Even if you keep on nudging him, and even if it's a sale, even if you don't have the other etayrim, it would still be no lasachmud. And Mamele, that's his third reason in allowing these people to nudge the Rebbe to give him the matzahs. So, summing up, lasachmud applies only to items that are not for sale. If the item is for sale, there's certainly los achmud. You're allowed to walk by a window. Once again, whether it's good musr or not, that you walk by a window, you see something for sale, you go in and you want to buy it. That's not what los achmud. That's not the iser of los achmud.
At this time, at this moment, it's for sale.
Right. And it has to be on sale now, so you can walk in the store and buy. You haven't. There's been musr. That's what you would say. Los achmud don't desire anything, but the iser. The arise of los achmud only applies when the item is not for sale now, or not for sale to you, maybe not for sale at this price. It's not for sale, that's when there's an iser los achmud. And that's only an iser if you nudge him, if you're just asking if an item's for sale. So it could be that he'll sell it to you. So then you haven't violated los achmud if you just ask. It's just if you nudge. We saw that nudging is three times asking, that's called nudging. We saw los achmud might not apply in a case of a present. It could be a raya from an oni getting tzedakah. Chatz Chaim doesn't seem to hold that way, unless you hold that chatzin wasn't asking for a present, that was part of the deal. And then we have the third answer, that if it's something that he should give you anyway, there's also no sachmud on that. And along the way we saw a fourth hetter, which the sale sachmud didn't say, if you're not asking for a specific item, you're just asking, you know, can you help me with something, I don't care which one you give me or where it is, I just could use a code, I could use samani, so then there's no sachmud on that either. Once again, you have to make sure you're right muster wise. So going back in the case of a house, so it's pretty clear that to knock on someone's door and say, is your house for sale? That's no problem. You're just asking, is the house for sale? That's not a problem. And even a second time wouldn't be a problem. To ask a third time, that would be nudging. That would be a problem. Certainly what people do is no problem when they send out letters to the whole neighborhood. Do you know of any house that's for sale, yours or someone else's? So that's certainly no problem, because you're not targeting a one house. You just want to know which house it is. That's no problem. And finally, even when you're over los achmud, even if you need that item to do a mitzvah, you don't have any of the heterim to allow you to do los achmud, we learned tonight that even though you need this item for a mitzvah, you need the ox for a carbon, the house to build the shul, the evet to deliver water to the shul, you need the different things for the mitzvahs, still the Yisrael Sachman applies, that's not a heter. You have to have one of these other heterim, that the item's for sale, you're just asking it for sale, you're not nudging, maybe a present, or he's supposed to give it to you, he needs that mitzvah. And by the way, that just because you have a mitzvah doesn't mean that he's mechuyav to help you do that mitzvah. Right? He brings a, the Rabbi Yosef says that if you're asking him his house, he has an extra house, he needs a house for a shul, so you can ask him that. Because why? Because he has a mechuyav to make a shul also, so you're asking him to chip in to have a shul. But if you ask, if your 10 friends ask him to buy a house to you, because you need it, that's no mitzvah on his part, and you don't have any right to do that. So that's the Yudarmelo Sachmod. Next week we'll talk about a case of Zayin.